Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, this warm weather, Denise has seen a lot of early bloom. The poppies, for example, right now are pretty much at full force. And by the time the poppies festival comes around in April, they might be gone. But you still want to make plans to attend that poppies festival because the Museum of Archaeology is in a really beautiful part of the city right at the base of Trans Mountain Road. And so hopefully people can make plans to go out on Saturday, April 2nd between 10 and 4 at the Museum of Archaeology to this poppies festival. They're going to have a whole lot of events, including food vendors, nature tours. You're going to have a live wolf display. They're going to have hawks from the El Paso Zoo, children's activities. Yeah. And Congressman Beto O'Rourke will also be there as well. And I know that the Franklin Mountains State Park also, or the Franklin Mountains, I think there's a conservation group
right,
that is working. Mm-hmm. Yes, that they're working on trying to get Kastner Range
as a national monument.
Yes, so I believe Congressman O'Rourke will be making some statements about that as well. So it's going to be a great event for the whole family on April the 2nd.
I was out there last week, and not just the poppies, but the penstemon are in full force, and they have a little great little walking path garden with a lot of identified plants. And
oh,
there was
nice.
One, the early bloomer cactus was blooming, so we were able to take a nice little shot of that one. So definitely it's a great place to be able to take out your family, so take advantage of this once a year event.
And just to sort of take a rewind to our rose talks from a few weeks ago, I've been seeing a lot of roses starting to come out again. And I think I pruned my roses back in February, I think it was, and they're already starting to come out. So hopefully if you got your roses pruned within the last 2 months or so, you're starting to see some
growth on
exactly.
there.
Exactly. So we can expect to see some beautiful blooms here sooner than later.
You're right. Exactly. Come next month.
So I think the people who are listening right now probably have their mindset on vegetables. You can't go anywhere right now with seeing herbs and tomatoes already being set out on display in the store. So let's talk a little bit about vegetables and what do we need to be thinking about indoors and outdoors right now?
Well, definitely for El Paso, we can grow a lot of vegetables, believe it or not. We did get a chance to visit with a lot of folks this past weekend at the home show, people that are interested in learning about growing vegetables in El Paso and can it be done? And the answer, of course, is yes. And you can grow a lot of different types of vegetables. And for us, our window of stable weather is so short, especially in the springtime. You know, we've had an early spring this year, and then as those winds start kicking up, before you know it, the summer heat is going to set in on us. So what becomes really important with tomatoes is they actually turn off, meaning they may have flowers, but there's no fruit set after those blooms come out if it gets too hot. And by too hot, I mean anything above 92 degrees Fahrenheit. And that can be really quick. So we actually encourage El Pasoans to put in their tomato plants about this time of the year, about mid to late March, and that allows them to be established and put on good solid root system and some nice branching so that they can put on first flush of actual bloom set before those summer heat.
Now, if you usually go buy a tomato seedling, they're pretty small, but they get very large. So don't keep
yes.
them in the pot that you bought them in.
Exactly. So you want to know exactly if you have, there's two main types of tomatoes, whether that's the indeterminate or the determinate types. The indeterminate will grow continuously throughout the season. It'll continue to branch and set fruit, and it can grow about 6 feet tall. and a lot of those indeterminates are usually your cherry or your mini tomatoes that you get. And then the determinate ones only get a certain amount of height, and then their yield or their tomatoes come on, you know, strong, and then they kind of taper off throughout the year. So you want to make sure that you understand exactly which type of tomato that you want so you can pick the right one in the store. And the really interesting thing about tomatoes themselves is that if they get too large or you see them really big and leggy at the store, you can certainly lay them to their side when you plant them into the planting bed.
It's interesting
really? About
How do you do that?
So if the branch itself comes out, there can be anything in the stem. If it gets buried too deep, that stem will automatically start sending out roots.
Oh.
So if it gets too big, what you all want to do is you kind of want to lay it down into the bed itself, essentially kind of trench it in, and then just leave the top third above the ground. So that's one way that you can kind of prevent it from snapping off, especially when the winds kind of kick up. So that's unique only to tomatoes. Don't try that on any of your other summer
trees,
vegetables.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't try that. So that's the exception to the rule on tomatoes. But really what you want to do is give it a good head start to get that good established root system. When you plant that, you want to make sure that you put some ammonium sulfate, which is some good nitrogen fertilizer, just to give it a bump into your nutrition and get that going.
So another group of vegetables that we see being planted usually around this time of the year, we see chili and eggplant also. So yeah. Are chili plants and eggplants, we want to hold off a little bit longer on putting them outside?
Yes, definitely. Chilies definitely like their soil temperature to be much warmer than tomatoes. They're less forgiving. If you get them in the ground too long, they'll just kind of sit there and not do anything. And then, you know, it just won't really take off for the season. So give them a several more weeks. About, you know, mid-April is a good time to put your chili transplants out into the garden to be your companion to your tomatoes out there. Same goes for eggplant as well. There's a lot of different types of eggplants. We see the normal eggplant in the store is the Black Beauty, which is that really large, almost globe-sized, dark purple eggplant. But there's also some really nice Oriental-style ones that have a much thinner skin, and they look really well. So keep an eye out for those if you want to make sure that you have, you know, what you're going to use in the kitchen. Because ultimately, it's a lot of work to be out there, and if you don't use it, you know, you want to make sure that you pick exactly what you want to use for your garden.
Or you have a lot of neighbors who love to eat vegetables.
Yes, exactly.
Well, herbs are also really popular this time of year. I was recently at a home improvement store, and there were already tons of herbs being put out there. And I was lucky to be able to find a little basil, because I think that's usually the first to go.
Right. Exactly. And you know what? Really, culinary herbs grow really well in containers. If you're familiar with those, like, strawberry pots, they're kind of like a tall clay pot, and then they have little holes all throughout there. You can certainly use one of those to plant your herbs. Mm. You know, your basil is going to grow tall, but you have something like thyme is going to be more of a shorter creeping plant. This would be really nice on the sides of that strawberry pot as well. But one thing about that is, gosh, you know, culinary herbs are so expensive in the stores, and you try to, you know, purchase a little package of them, and the price is really outrageous. If you want to use a lot of fresh herbs in the kitchen, growing your own in containers is the way to go.
Yeah, spending about $3 at a store, it's going to keep producing throughout the summer, and you're going to have a nice crop, and you don't have to worry about the dried herbs that you have to keep replenishing or that have been sitting on your shelf for like 3 years.
Right, exactly. And then really, when we're talking about all these, you know, herbs and vegetables, people kind of get really excited and they want to go and buy all these plants and then put them in the ground. Really, if you don't get a chance to go out to the store, start looking at finishing up amending your beds, watering those raised beds, especially the ones that have been dormant during the fall and the winter time. You know, give them a good soaking, mix up some compost in that top 3-inch layer into your beds, get them really amended. That's really going to help when you bring your plants home from the garden center and put them outside. A lot of times these plants, they come from far away. They're grown in beautiful greenhouses and then they're shipped in a truck. So they look wonderful and they're great, but they really haven't been outside and been exposed to being what we call hardening off. So if you need to leave them outside, it's okay. Keep them well watered. Keep them in your patio. Get them used to being acclimated to the fluctuations in temperature and the wind, and that's really going to help them, you know, toughen them up so that when you put them into your garden, they'll have better success.
Well, we are still seeing some coolish nighttime temperatures. So you were saying earlier about chili and eggplant, you want to hold off until the weather gets a little bit warmer because it might be a little too cool for them to survive those cooler temperatures. But of course, you were saying the winds are going to perhaps wreak some havoc on, you know, especially tomato plants, because they do get kind of large and leggy. So what are some precautions people can take to protect them in the wind?
Well, you have to decide what you want to do with your tomato plants. Most people will either stake them with a large bamboo stake and kind of train the main stem up and, you know, tie it as it grows along. Or most people usually will cage their tomato plants, and you can certainly buy a lot of colorful cages or repurpose some metal that you may have at home and make your own tomato cages. But really, it kind of acts as two things. The cage will help support the tomato plant as it grows, but also what we recommend is that you put some kind of fabric over that cage. And that's really going to help with two things, with those cooler nighttime temperatures, and then second of all, with those strong winds that come in during the daytime. Fabric can be anything. It can be insect cloth. It can be frost blankets. It can be an all-purpose old sheet that you have at home that you just kind of cut to make it fit. Anything to kind of tear down or to really keep down those winds and act as a little semi-insulator for the beginning part of the tomato plant. And once you start getting that first fruit set, you can certainly take off that covering that you have. But it's a really good way to be able to protect your tomato plants as they're trying to establish themselves during this windy weather.
So maybe some people have bought some little seed packets of vegetables and they never quite got around to getting those started. Is it too late to get some of your vegetables started by seed?
It is too late to start your tomatoes. And if you want to do your chili eggplants, you better start now because that time window is going to get away from you.
And you want to start those indoors, right?
And you want to start those indoors and near a sunny window using some nice, clean starting soil for potting mix and some nice containers. Make sure that you get enough light and you don't want to stress out the little seeds as they're growing, because once they're germinating and they're sprouting, they're very susceptible to dying off. So make sure that you don't let them dry out. But on the opposite end, don't let them soak in water all the time. So this is when you start seeds on the inside, you really have to be on top of them. So put them in a highly visible area that you're going to walk by several times a day to be able to check on them. Or, you know, sometimes they say, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You don't want that in the case of starting any kind of seeds indoors.
So what, I know there are certain seeds you can go ahead and put directly into the ground. What are those and when can we do that?
Definitely. So around mid-April is going to be your really target time to get all your plants directly sowed into the garden itself. So we're talking about squash, any kind of other plants that are going to take a longer time, you know, all of your melons, if you want to be able to do those. There's so many different types of vegetables that you can grow during the summertime as well, but those seem to be the most popular as far as the edibles. We're growing also, if you want to look at any kind of leafy greens and spinach and all that, you want to hold off on that until the fall again, because what's going to happen is they'll right away go to seed, so they'll get really bitter at this point. So you want to hold off on that. But anything else, you know, that you commonly think of as a summer vegetable, you can go ahead and put those into the ground starting in mid-April.
And really quickly, you just reminded me, going back to herbs, if you are using them for culinary purposes, you do want to, if they look like they're about to go to flower, about to set flower, what is it we have to do?
You want to make sure that you pinch off the tops of those flower buds, and you don't want the plants to go to set seed. In that case, the plant is going to spend all of its energy into making the flowers and then ultimately making the seeds. So you're going to get a lower quality of your leaves, especially of your basil and things like that. So I personally like to leave a couple of plants that go to seed as far as the basil itself, only because it attracts a lot of nice pollinators to the garden. But for the most part, if I'm going to use it for inside, I want to make sure to keep that plant growing vegetatively. So just the leaves.
So we are out of time, but hopefully if our listeners have any questions about vegetables, they can always call the Master Gardener Hotline. Call the Texas AgriLife Extension at 771-2354. That's 771-2354. Or visit the Good to Grow page. We have a nice email link in case you have any problems. You can send pictures attached to those emails. Again, that's on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We want to thank you so much for listening today, and we want to thank Evan Walsh for editing and producing this program. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.